not understand how someone can participate in a communion service without a feeling of sobriety, of seriousness. I do not understand how we can partake of symbols of the body and blood of Christ in a lighthearted fashion. I do not know how we can bow and wash one another's feet without a sense of humility and of the seriousness of the occasion. And I want to say to you also that it's been impressed upon me this morning, I don't know how I can stand and speak about these things without a burden on my heart for the sobriety of what we do here today. In case this is a new experience for you, let me explain. In common with many churches, we regularly take part in symbols of the broken body and the spilled blood of Jesus. We'll be doing that together here in just a few moments. And if you take Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome to join us as you wish. We do something also that is not quite so common right before that, which I referred to a moment ago, in washing one another's feet, following the command of Jesus from that experience that we just read about together. And I believe that both of these commemorations that Jesus gave us were intended to give us a sober reminder of the seriousness, the weight of our need, and the weight of what He did for us on that difficult night and the day that followed just outside Jerusalem. The scene that we look back at, remembering that day, was not amusing in the least. It was very painful for those who were present. The crosses had been erected, and Jesus hung between heaven and earth in the last hours of His life, and there were a small number of His followers with the courage or the resignation to be present right at the foot of the cross. I believe the Bible in the Gospel of John specifies that there were four. Let's read that together. It's John chapter 19, if you would like to follow along with me. John chapter 19, and beginning with verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her in his own home. I have wondered about that more than once. What is that conversation doing in this place? Why did that conversation not take place 2 days before? What are those words doing coming from Jesus as He hangs on the cross, suffering for the sins of all of humanity? These are His final moments. They're weighted down by His responsibility and by the grief of those who followed. More is at stake at this moment than has ever been at stake in any other point in human history. The salvation of the lost human race hangs on the behavior, the actions of Jesus on the cross on that day, during those hours. This is His final opportunity to impart truth to His followers, to impart guidance to a lost human race. All will be looking at Him at one point or another in history at that moment on the cross. This is His last chance, with all of the world looking, to reveal the character of God. Why is He taking care of the household arrangements at that moment? There must be some significant reason for that. Think about what He said. Two simple parts to what Jesus said. Will you take care of my mother? Now, I think it's very nice that he thought of that, but that is what the request was, isn't it? When we put it in modern English, would you, and we understand that disciple there to be John, would you take care of my mother now that I'm dying? Okay? And the next thing that he had to say, and he didn't even have a chance to point, he wasn't free to do that. He might have nodded, but I think they both understood who he was speaking to. He then turned to his mother and said, would you trust yourself to the care of John? Would you allow him, my friend, to take care of you from this point on? Two singular requests, and especially curious because of the timing and the setting. When we put together what he said and the very important setting of his words, we can find a lesson that we can take with us today that is profitable for us. He wanted in his words to John and to his mother, he wanted to point out to us that it is important in his plan, it is important to the salvation of the human race, if you will, for us, for me, for you, to care for the needs of our fellow believers. How could he have said it any more simply and any more clearly? Just as important as, into your hands I commit my spirit and forgive them because they don't know what they're doing, it is equally important, take care of the needs of your fellow believers. We cannot walk with Jesus if we do not care for one another. Not just on Sabbath morning to smile nicely at each other. By the way, there are some very nice smiles that come our way on Sabbath morning. It's nice to say Happy Sabbath. It's nice to shake one another's hands, provided some of us don't have bad colds and sharing them, but never mind that. It's nice to greet one another on Sabbath morning. But what Jesus is speaking about here is something more tangible, shall we say, something that can be touched. It has to do with physical needs and social needs every day of the week. Care for one another's needs. Be responsible for those who are in need, not for those who will not work, but for those who are unable to provide for their own needs. Accept responsibility for one another. That's a critically important part, apparently, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, given the setting of what he said. Now, that much we've heard many times. I have, anyway. I suspect that you have, too. These are familiar ideas for us. But that wasn't all that Jesus said, was it? He not only asked John to care for his mother, to take her as his own mother, but he also said something to Mary. In fact, he said it first to her. Something that, now, you may be able to tell, I have never been an elderly woman. But I have known several. And I suspect that what he said to Mary was difficult for her to accept. Because I have known several who were unwilling to listen to those words. People who find themselves in positions of dependency and are not willing to place themselves under the care of others. Not willing to accept the loving service of fellow believers. I'm not sure how to characterize that. I've known some for whom it's fairly certain that it was a sense of pride. But I'm not sure that that's the case in every instance. Sometimes it's just hard to be a burden to someone else. Hard to accept that. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to serve others. Well, sometimes you need to accept the loving service of other believers. You need to be willing to allow them to serve when you have need. It's not about my greatness because I always serve. It's about all of us learning together how to serve and how to accept the blessings that others would pass our way. John learned to care for the needs of fellow believers, and Mary learned to accept the love and the attention, the service, even undeserved service, of your fellow believers. Both of them are just as important as Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. The setting is the same. The emphasis is the same. These are critically important ideas to our experience as believers. It is not just a nice civil arrangement, a nice practical social arrangement that is added to the burden of Christians. It is not a theological afterthought that had to fit in somewhere. This idea of giving and receiving service to one another is integral, essential to what it means to be adopted into the body of Christ. It is part of what it means to experience the new birth. When I am born again, I am born into a family, and families have mutual responsibilities to one another. It is part of what it means to be a Christian. Becoming a member of a family means dealing with other members of the family, with their needs and with their desires and their need to be of service to you. Sometimes I think, well, it's easy for me, it may be easy for some of you as well, to think of being a Christian as something that is done all alone. I have to stand for the truth though the heavens fall. I need to do right even if everybody else does wrong. What all of those other people do doesn't matter. It's my walk with God that's important. But that's not what Jesus had on his mind when he spoke that day from the cross. It wasn't about serving, living as believers alone. Sometimes I imagine that I have been tempted to say, you know, I love being a Seventh-day Adventist. It's just all of those other Seventh-day Adventists that I have problems with. They're so hard to deal with. But that's our responsibility. We are here to learn to walk with those difficult others, to support them and to accept their support. What is the challenge of God's Word for us today? Accept each other into your understanding of eternal life. Accept each other into your picture of what it means to walk with Jesus, and walk accordingly, and the blessing will be yours. We will separate at this time then for our foot washing service. I don't know of any changes to where we usually go, so those of you who have been there before, lead the way, and if you'd like to take part and you don't know where to go, pick someone that looks like they know what they're doing and follow them. We'll come back together here again in a few moments for the Lord's Supper service.